Welcome back to By Any Means Necessary on Radio Sputnik in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Jackie Lukman. And as always, we're your guide to connecting the political, social, and economic movements shaping the world around us. And today we're talking about, surprise, surprise, politicos in Washington, D.C. refusing to support an end to military spending. And I'm happy to be joined for David Swanson, activist, journalist, radio host, executive director of World Beyond War, and author of the book Leaving World War II Behind. David, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Good, good. I mean, this isn't really a surprise, but you wrote a piece on World Beyond War in which you highlight how one U.S. senator and zero representatives say they'll vote no unless military spending is reduced. I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, but I guess in this era of ratcheting tensions or aggressions from the U.S. toward China, the ongoing proxy war using Ukraine against Russia, the insane amount of military aid that is, it seems like, every month now being allocated to Ukraine, and of course, the ongoing tensions and aggressions toward a DPRK and, you know, not even to mention sanctions. It should be a surprise that no one, practically no one, in the Congress of millionaires are pushing for a reduction in military spending. But I guess reducing military spending isn't all that sexy a topic for a lot of people these days, David.
Well, a number of Congress members will tell you they are pushing for a reduction in military spending, and a number of peace groups will tell you that a number of Congress members are so pushing. But none of them are willing to take what I consider the most useful particular step, which is to do what Senator Bernie Sanders just did and publicly announce, I am going to vote no because it's too high. Unless it's reduced, I won't vote yes on military spending. Very easy thing to do. I guess he couldn't do it in a U.S. media outlet. He did it in The Guardian. Even so, if you had 100 Congress members doing it, it would make the news in the United States. People would hear about it. Most people, of course, don't know that there's a big debate and ordeal and negotiation around military spending every year. Most people don't know that it's more than half of the money Congress decides what to do with every year. Most people are completely clueless. But peace groups will tell you, dozens of Congress members will often vote no on military spending. My point is that not a single one of them, other than Bernie Sanders, will commit beforehand to voting no, organize their colleagues to vote no, and possibly stop the thing unless the money is reduced. What happened in recent weeks in the House of Misrepresentatives is that almost every Democrat voted no because there was stuff in there about abortion rights and LGBTQ rights and so forth that they actually cared about, and they took a stand. They failed. The thing still passed. Last year, a bunch of Democrats got together and said, we're going to vote no on every single procedural vote. We're going to actually try to stop the thing unless this dirty oil deal of Senator Manchin's is taken out. And they succeeded. They got that done. But then they didn't say, we're going to vote no unless this ever skyrocketing spending number is reduced, because they don't care about that. Also, every year they introduce bills to reduce military spending by 10% or by some hundreds of billions of dollars, which are doomed to fail. And if they succeeded with such a bill in the House, it would have to get through the Senate and the president, which it never will. And if it actually did, then the actual military spending bill could simply be increased by the same amount, and it wouldn't have made a darn bit of difference. They also introduce amendments to the bill to reduce the amount, and those amendments fail. But then they turn around and vote for the bill, or vote no on the bill once it has enough yes votes to pass. What they don't do, I'm sorry this is so complicated for some people, but it really matters that the key thing to do is to organize no votes in your House, either the House or the Senate, and try to block the thing until you can change it. This is what not a single one of them will do other than Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, and you note in your article that last year and the year before, a small group of Democrats publicly stated their displeasure with Congress's increase in military spending beyond what President Biden proposed. And you note that that was useful as far as rhetoric goes, and it was different from saying, I'll vote no, but you say that it was also misleading. And I remember those Democrats made a big deal about the fact that they made that statement about military spending. But why was their statement and their alleged action misleading, David?
Well, it's a little bit different from this year where they have this budget deal, although they're all trying to break it in different ways. But last year and the year before, the way it worked was that President Biden would propose a military budget that included a huge increase over the previous year. And, you know, there would be maybe a couple of whispers from three or four progressive Congress members, and that's it. And then Congress, led by Republicans, with Democrats playing along, would add another big increase on top of that. And then you would have whining and moaning and squawking from the progressive Democrats in the House about that increase without a mention of the other increase from the president, as if there were only the one and not the other, which served to really bury the memory of the other. But even then, no commitments to vote no on anything. And then, of course, some of them do vote no once they're sure it's going to pass, and then they brag to their constituents about having voted no. We know how this works, but it's the hypocrisy. If they mean it, if they have the best intentions in introducing these hopeless bills and amendments and in claiming to be against increased military spending, what explanation do they have for not taking the simple step of saying, I commit to voting no unless it goes down? The problem is that this is a bill that's virtually guaranteed to pass, and so everybody adds in their pet projects, and it might be something they deeply care about passing or not passing. It might be LGBTQ or abortion or something else, and so then their vote may matter, and so they won't commit beforehand to how they'll vote. They'll wait to see if the thing's going to pass. Then some of them will vote no. Sometimes they parcel this out. The party leadership will tell Congress members who gets to vote no and brag about it. Sometimes Nancy Pelosi herself, when she was speaker, would push to make sure something was going to pass and then vote no and actually brag about the no vote to her constituents. This is what makes me cynical.
Yeah, and it should make everyone cynical, because what it sounds like to me, David, is that even the so-called progressives are very comfortable with voting for increased military and war spending in order to get some other piece of legislation passed that they want passed, and not really caring about the consequences, even to the people that their piece of legislation that they want passed would positively impact. And that's a hypocritical move, to say the least. And you go on to say in your piece about Bernie Sanders' statement in voting no because of this increased military spending, and why his statement is the benchmark and so important, and you add some to it. So tell us a little bit about what Senator Sanders said and why the answer he gave is so important to organizing no votes for funding people's needs.
Yeah, sometimes some Congress member or senator will stick in something that's really good for the troops. It's not just more billions of dollars for weapons company CEOs, and then they'll say, I have to vote yes for the troops, I have to vote yes because there's something for Ukraine, or they'll stick in something, deprived people of rights, gay rights, or whatever, and they'll say, oh, I have to vote no because of that. When there's something they care about, they'll take a stand. Otherwise, you know, they just want to keep quiet and stay in the shadows and make sure the war machine stays armed and oiled. But what Senator Sanders has done is said beforehand. Now, he waited until after the House had voted. He waited months in which he could have said anything. He waited until the Republicans had loaded it up with all this right-wing cultural stuff. But still, what he said it on his website and in a column on The Guardian newspaper, I'm going to vote no because the money is too high and because we need the money for human and environmental crises, because we need it for the environment and health care and education and housing, and we can't afford to be dumping it into wars, which is exactly the right thing to say. Now, he didn't say how much he wants it reduced by. He didn't say he wants it eventually eliminated. He said ridiculously that the budget, without increasing it a bit, was more than sufficient. Sufficient to do what? I would love to know. You know, he didn't talk the way I would have talked if I were writing his column, but he did, and he didn't say, critically, he didn't say, I want my colleagues to join me in a block of votes to try to actually change this thing. But he did what is apparently beyond the reach of any other member of the House or Senate, and said beforehand, I am committing to voting no because it's too much money, and we need the money for actually useful things. And you know, Senator Sanders does a million things right and a million things wrong, but he does more things right, including this one, than anybody else in that legislative body.
Yeah, and you point out in your article the cost of things that could be supported if military spending were reduced by almost any amount, any percentage. I guess 10% has been tossed around for quite a few years. Right now, as Congress is debating, what is it, $886 billion for the annual NDAA, what could 10% of that money fund for the people instead of funding war, David?
Yeah, well, remember, these numbers are unimaginable, and that they're actually higher. There are nuclear weapons in the Department of Energy.
Right.
There's the Veterans Administration. There's the interest on the debt for all the past wars. There's the militarization of the border and the secret agencies and the internal spying and the weapons for the police and all. It's way over $1 trillion, right? So if we look at $1 trillion, $30 billion is 3%. $30 billion is the figure the United Nations has had for many years that could end starvation on Earth. Let's assume they're wrong. It's $60 billion. We're still talking 6%, right? Let's look at providing the whole world with clean drinking water. It's a little bit over $10 billion. It's a little over 1%, right? Let's look at a Green New Deal, critically needed, protecting us from an actually unavoidable, life-threatening species and numerous other species-threatening crisis of environmental collapse. To put everything we had into mitigating that, slowing that, hopefully preventing that would be actually sane policy. Take 5, 10, 20% of military spending and you're beyond the wildest dreams of advocates for a Green New Deal. Take 100% of it if it's up to me, right? But a tiny percentage, take 2% and you can double U.S. foreign aid. Take another 2% and you can transform the United States itself. Take 1, 2, 3%, and you can transform our infrastructure. We could have trains like the rest of the world instead of these ever bigger SUVs clogging up the highways and the atmosphere. You're talking about amounts of money that are just unimaginable, undreamed of by anybody other than the military or the banks when they need a bailout. And it's there, you know, and it's the military spending has been dramatically increased. You could cut it in half and you're just going back to what it was some years ago. And what has it given us in the intervening years that's an actual benefit to anybody other than weapons profiteers? Nothing, nothing whatsoever.
Absolutely. Well, we're out of time for this segment. I want to thank you, David Swanson, so much for joining me today. But we will be back on By Any Means Necessary on Radio Sputnik in Washington, D.C. So please stay with us.
By Any Means Necessary.